been through some pretty big churches with tremendous talent, and I come home and it's like, wow, we have that here too. I was looking at the band as we were singing the last song, and I'm like, two of those people have been with me a long time. Ryan Cole, who is actually a cousin of mine, was a drummer when I began youth ministry at Pine Prairie 19 years ago. I was in charge of youth praise band, and he was a drummer for us. And Ashley over here was actually one of the singers in our teenage praise band. That's how old I am. God has truly, truly blessed us as a church. Today we talk about being impacted by the Holy Spirit's power. Being impacted by the Holy Spirit's power. There's something that as Christians we have to get in our mind and be totally convinced of. That God saved us for a reason. That God did not just save us to populate heaven, but God also saved us for a particular reason to be here on earth. That God has allowed things in our life to happen as they did, so that those things He can bring healing, bring restoration to us, so that those very tests, those very troubles, those very tragedies that we have been through are now a testimony of the goodness and the graciousness of God. We have to be convinced of that. Or we'll go through life very bitter because of the things that happened to us as a child, maybe even in our teenage, maybe even as a married. Maybe we went through some things and we didn't understand why God was allowing this to happen. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and nothing happened. We had to go through the whole experience. And we got angry with others. We got angry with God. And we've been bitter for it because God didn't save us from that situation. And God was saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Our faith only grows when it's exercised. If you never went through trials in your life, if you never gone through health issues in your life, if you never gone through some marital difficulties, if you never gone through wayward children, if you never gone through that, if you've never gone through experiences when you were a child, listen, we live in an evil world, and God doesn't always rescue us out of our situations. Sometimes He allows us to go through it. He allows us to go through it so that we now on the other side can say, look what I've learned, look what I've gone through, and I'm a stronger and better person for that today because God has led me. And it teaches us to lean on Him. If everything in our life was nice and rosy and wonderful, and we've never had any life challenges, and we've never had any failures, we've never fallen flat on our face before, then we would never know what it's like to truly experience the glory of God and the grace of God to where we are. Matter of fact, most of us probably wouldn't even be sitting in here today because we didn't see the need for Jesus. But wow, He saved you for a reason and for a purpose. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. As we continue looking at, last week we looked at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell and came upon the 120 in the upper room. And today we worked through the rest of that story. We looked at the 120's obedience and those about being there and being present, sitting and being there for 10 days, praying for God's will to be done in their life. And now when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, He gave them the spiritual gift of speaking in all these different languages to minister to the people in Jerusalem. This is where we'll take up off that story. Oswald Chambers said this, if the Spirit of God detects anything in you that is wrong, He does not ask you to put it right. He asks you to accept the light, and He will put it right. Well, today, God wants to work in our life. If there's some area in our life that we have not given over to Him, He wants it today. He doesn't want you to carry that burden any longer. He wants it today for you just to trust Him. So we begin reading. Verse 14. So then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you and listen carefully what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what has been spoken by the prophet Joel. And if you're French, it's Joel. See, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens and above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God, I love that, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead. Nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and he poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? See, they're showing faith here. And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's pray together. Father God, today, what a tremendous crusade to reach out into the city of Jerusalem, where all the pilgrims from all these Jews, from all the nations of the world, assembled there at one time. Lord, what a mighty plan that you had to use your disciples, Lord, and especially Peter in this time. God, I know that there are men and women here who have many stories, many backgrounds, God, but you choose to use us. You've called us. You've elected us. Lord, you are the one who has set us apart for a special mission in this life. I pray today that we are filled with your Spirit, God, and know that you have called us and set aside, allowed us to go through some life challenges simply for your glory, to use that to honor you and to reach others for you. Help us today, God. Give us strength. Give us openness to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are three significant acts of the Holy Spirit in this passage, which transform the people participating as messengers to those who were listening. The first act of the Spirit was this imperative impression for Christians to testify about Jesus. So not only were they filled with the Holy Spirit at that one moment and began to speak in different languages, they could have gone home and had supper and then, well, everything's good now. We have the Holy Spirit. But no, they felt compelled to go out and share the gospel. They felt compelled to go out into the streets and tell others about what Jesus, who this Jesus person was. Because that was God's plan for them to be there, and they wanted to be obedient to God. And so when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, let me tell you what, you want to tell somebody what God has done in your life. You may not know all the scripture. Matter of fact, you may not remember any of it, but Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But you know what God has done in your life. You know what he set you free from if you trusted him. You know that you know it's your story and nobody can change it. God has saved you for a reason and a purpose. See, the Holy Spirit impresses upon us to urgently share the gospel of Jesus with other people within our influence. Listen, God doesn't call everyone to go out to Africa, to go to India, to go to South America. God doesn't call everyone to do that. But God has planted us in places and a place in our life that we see people every day who are lost, who are hurting, who need to know our story. Story of redemption that Jesus has brought to us. Verse 14 says, then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and listen carefully to what I say. So Peter, the leader of the disciples, stood up and addressed the crowd, addressed these Jews who they were witnessing to, and proclaimed in their own native languages, who were all gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. See, the crowd was a little baffled. And some even said that these disciples were drunk. And Peter's like, no, man, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not that bad off. See, the Holy Spirit impressed upon Peter to address the crowd and proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What a miracle this simple act was and the life of Peter. See, Peter was known among the disciples for shooting his mouth off. Peter did not have a very good filter. Whatever came to his mind, he pretty much said. Have you met a few people like that? Here in Evangeline Parish, South Louisiana, we call those brute. Those people who really don't know how to filter their words or their comments, they just say whatever comes up in their mind. Peter was like that. And Jesus tried to straighten him out for 3.5 years in ministry. And listen, it only took the filling of the Holy Spirit to get it right. And if you're a person who's pretty brute, you just want to say whatever comes out and you don't filter it, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are some things that don't need to be said. And there are some ways that it doesn't need to be said. And the only way that we can control our mouth and control what we think and not actually say it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't blame our mom and daddy for being like that. We are adults. We're responsible. So Peter was known among his disciples as one to speak too quickly and not be able to back up his words with action. So this is how This is now how the Holy Spirit changed him. He was baptized with the Spirit. Is that Peter was the disciple who promised Jesus. Listen, he was a disciple who promised Jesus that he would be loyal to him. But we see in Luke 22, verse 33, Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison or to death." And verse 34, Jesus answered, "I tell you right now, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you even knew me." And Peter did deny Jesus three times. See, Jesus reinstated Peter after the resurrection, and Peter's denial of Jesus took about 7 weeks from his denial to his sermon at Pentecost that we just read. Only through the Holy Spirit could such a transformation happen in Peter's life. He dealt with fear. He dealt with confusion. He dealt with doubt. All of these things. Peter is saved for a reason. He bore that heavy burden of guilt for a little while till Jesus reinstated him. And then I believe after Jesus even showed grace, Peter really felt bad about not fully fulfilling his word to Jesus to be there with him. But Jesus forgave him completely. Listen, sometimes in our life, we make God a promise. We say this or we say that. We make a commitment and we don't fulfill that commitment. I want you to know this, that Jesus is gracious to you. And today he's inviting you and reinstating you. He's reinstating you. See, in fear, Peter ran in confusion away from Jesus. And Jesus now restored him and filled him with the Holy Spirit. Peter now could boldly stand before thousands of people to proclaim the incarnation of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that would save the world. As many who would call upon him. This was all the fulfillment of God's prophecies. Peter could not have spoken up in his own courage because he was weak without the Holy Spirit. Listen, in our life, so often we say things, we do things because we're not being conscious that the Holy Spirit is living in us and guiding us. So we say whatever when we're really just being weak. We're just being weak people. The only way we can live this life the way God has called us to live this life is to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Listen, look at the transformation it did in Peter's life. Peter's faith diminished fear. Determination extinguished all the doubts, and courage overcame cowardly behavior. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, was totally transformed and imperatively declared Jesus as Lord before thousands who wanted to kill him. Where Peter ran away just a few weeks before, denying that he even knew his best friend, he now was standing up boldly proclaiming the goodness of God, proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah that they had been looking forward to. And then he told them, "The one that you got with evil men and crucified." Kind of being a little bold now, huh? See, God wants to do that in our life, to make us bold. It was said, "The stirring of God's Spirit ignites my soul and fans the flames of holy passion for Christ Jesus. May the Spirit blow today through every area of my life." Just as the wind rushes through the trees, shimmering every leaf with its turbulent power, the wind is invisible, while its effects can be seen and heard and felt by all those around. So it is with the Holy Spirit. You may not see him, but listen, his effects in your life and his effects in those that you come in contact with, others will notice a difference in you. Others will notice there's something different. They may not be able to put their finger on it, but they know there's something different in your life. Question comes down, are you empowered with the Holy Spirit today? Are you experiencing a mighty move of God in your own life? Too often we get so caught up in looking at our problems, and we're looking at our certain situations. We get our feelings all stirred up about people or situations, and boy, we get discouraged. We get down and out, and man, we just think, oh, my life's falling apart, because our focus is in the wrong place. When we begin to see God working in this situation, listen, I get discouraged. You know why I realize why I can say this? Because I've done it so many times. I've experienced being discouraged because I've put my focus on the wrong thing. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's situation, sometimes it's work, and sometimes it's just busyness, and we get so caught up in all of that that our focus gets off of Christ, and boy, we sure feel it, don't we? But when we're empowered with the Holy Spirit and we get our focus on Jesus Christ, it's amazing how He begins to work all those things out for us. He begins to grow us where He wants us to be at. And we stop and we look back and say, wow, look what a growing experience that was. And it changes our whole attitude. Second act of the Holy Spirit that we see in this passage, that He influenced the message about Jesus Christ. So He influenced the messengers and the message. See, our testimony of Jesus is inspired and influenced by the Holy Spirit to minister to those whom the Spirit is working. Rest assured that what you've gone through in life, God is sending people in your life, in your world, in your circle, every day that are experiencing something right now that you've already been through. But most of the time, we're so caught up in ourselves, we don't even pay attention to it. And God is putting people in our life right now who need us to speak up, to speak a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, to say something because of what Christ has already done in our life. It may have happened 4 or 5 years ago for us, and boy, we've grown a lot since then, but there are people who right now who are experiencing that storm, are about to go into that storm, and they need to know it's going to be okay in Christ. They need to know that God is in charge. They may be lost, and they don't know Jesus, so they don't even know how to call out to Him. But you do. Our testimony for Jesus is inspired and influenced by the Holy Spirit to minister to those whom the Spirit sends our way. Peter, inspired, empowered by the Holy Spirit, joined the Spirit as he was working the lives of the Jews gathered in the city of Jerusalem. God, listen, was already at work in each part of this evangelistic crusade. God's plan was, I'm going to fill them in Jerusalem. He didn't tell them to go back to Galilee, go back fishing. He told them to stay in Jerusalem. Why? God's plan was this. All these people are coming into Jerusalem. God's plan is always perfect. And with all these people hearing the message, 3,000 were saved and were baptized. You know what? They went back to their cities, back to their countries, and they began to start churches right there, and they began to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You read later on in Acts, and Paul would go on these missionary journeys, and he was finding Christians all over the place. Why? Pentecost happened. And one man with 119 others stood up and proclaim Jesus. What will happen when you, child of God, would just be bold in your witness for Christ wherever you're at? Listen, I'm not talking about thumping people over the head with the Bible. That's the wrong approach. You do that and they'll thump you back. No. Just tell them what Jesus has done in your life. God was already at work. And listen, God is at work in people's lives around you. You don't know what level they're at. You don't know where they're at in life. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors at their house. You don't. But God is working on them. See, verse 16 says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter referred to the prophets to help the Jews to make this connection that what they were witnessing was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. See, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And verse 18 says, I will pour out my spirit in all those days, and they will prophesy. Verse 21 says, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter explains to the Jews. What he did was met them where they're at. He met them in the city street. He spoke the language, and all these others who were translating spoke the language of these people. And he met these Jews going back into the Old Testament and helping to make the connection between prophecy and Jesus Christ. That all these prophecies were coming into this one person named Jesus, whom you crucified. But it was God's plan for it to happen. Oh, how he put all of this together and working in these people's lives. Peter's message was short and to the point. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Peter courageously and boldly proclaimed the gospel of Christ. That's a difference that I find. Sometimes that we want to speak a word to somebody, but we haven't prayed up yet. We're trying to do it in our own power. And when we get shut down, we get all discouraged. Well, that didn't go so good. You know why it didn't go so good? Because we weren't sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We were just giving people our opinion. And people don't really want our opinion, if you haven't noticed. They really want truth. They want wisdom. They want to know that God is speaking to them, maybe even using you to do that. And we have to be prayed up. And we have to join the Holy Spirit where He's working. Listen, there may be somebody you encounter today or even tomorrow, and you go back to work, go back to school, that you're going to encounter that need you to be prayed up. They need you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadership, because the Holy Spirit is working on them, and you need to be able to pick it up. And it may be just a smile, it may be a word, it may be just the start of a relationship that God is beginning to work in their life and your life and bring it, and your paths are crossing for a reason. But the only way we'll know that is if we're looking for what God is doing. Peter's message was short. And Peter included the signs and the miracles and the wonders and all these things that were evidence of Jesus' deity. And Peter emphasizes that it was God's foreordained plan for Jesus to be handed over to them and to be crucified. And then Peter testifies of his own personal eyewitness account of the empty tomb and Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. See, the message Peter delivered pierced through the listeners' hardened hearts to bring about change in their lives. No one can deny your story. No one knows exactly where you've been. No one knows the dark areas that you've seen. People don't know what you've experienced and what other people have done to you or bad decisions that you have made. And the grace of God has set you free. And God has grown you. And listen, that is a testimony of the goodness of God. And somebody needs to hear it. Because they're hurting. They may even be lost without Jesus. The Holy Spirit regenerated 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost and gave them the gift of faith. Only the Holy Spirit can regenerate and bring salvation to a soul. See the words of Jesus. His love, forgiveness, His grace and salvation fall on spiritually deaf ears when the Holy Spirit has not regenerated a person with the gift of faith. See, people turn away from Jesus without salvation when the Spirit is not calling on them. See, John 6:44, Jesus answered, He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. The problem is we're not even looking for the Holy Spirit's moving oftentimes. We're just going to work. We're just doing life. We're just raising the kids. We're just going to the ball field. We're just going to the basketball court. We're just going. And we're not looking and being sensitive to what God is doing around us. The people who's bringing encounter of us. Oh, listen. We have to join the Holy Spirit where He's working. The longer I do this as a pastor, listen, I like to preach. I'm passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I know even as the message goes out, if the Holy Spirit is not dealing with the person, they will never make a decision. Matter of fact, they're probably looking at the bulletin, taking a nap, doing something else. But I also know, you know what? It may just be that the Holy Spirit has left them alone because they have resisted and resisted and resisted and don't want anything to do with this Jesus person. They're here with mama just to make things, you know, just to make mama happy. They're over here because that's what, well, mama and daddy told me I had to go to church today for whatever reason. But listen, when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you, the Holy Spirit starts prodding on you, just giving you this sense of urgency, listen, don't turn him away. When the Holy Spirit regenerates you, in other words, brings you from spiritually dead, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, into being spiritually alive, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, when the Holy Spirit makes you spiritually alive, listen, the grace of God is so sweet, you can't say no to Jesus. You don't want to say no. Today, just trust the Holy Spirit like Peter to overcome. Listen, your past failures, your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, all those things that used to be a place that you lived in. Now God, in a mighty way, wants to transform your life. The Holy Spirit used Peter, even after all of his blunders and all of his mess-ups, to preach this small sermon, and 3,000 people were saved. God used Peter, and God will use you in a tremendous way. Just trust Him. He's dealing with people, and He's working in you, and He will bring you together for His glory, and He'll do something tremendous in that person's life and in yours. You want a spiritual high? Lead somebody to Jesus. You want a spiritual high? Give them a word from where you've been out of your story. Give them some guidance of what you've experienced and the things that God has led you through. That's a spiritual high because you know that the Holy Spirit is using you in a tremendous way to reach those people that He's brought to your way. That, knowing that we are truly serving God because we're serving others. Oswald Chambers said this, the river of the Spirit of God overcomes all obstacles. Never get your eyes on the obstacle or the difficulty. Oh, Brother Kevin, you just don't know those people I work with. You just don't know what they're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But God already does. And God says all things are possible. Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. The third act of the Holy Spirit is this. He impacted the non-believers to be saved. He impacted the non-believers to be saved. See, the Holy Spirit will use God's word exemplified through our lives, our personal testimony, to reveal to other people the transforming grace of God that is only found in Christ Jesus. We're so concerned about saying the wrong thing. What if I say the wrong thing? How can you say the wrong thing if they're going to hell already? If they're going to hell already, you can't add to that. All you can do is put the word out and trust God that God's going to bring the harvest. We don't bring the harvest, God does. See verse 37 through 38. So when the people heard this, they heard Peter's message, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. See, this small message given by Peter on Pentecost impacted thousands of lives. 3,000 were saved in that one day. And their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 41 says, those who accepted the message were baptized and 3,000 were added. 3,000. We won't see 3,000 people today. 3,000. See, Peter's message was not hyped up by media blitz. It was not proofread for theological soundness. Peter simply connected the prophecies with the Messiah, and that the Messiah was Jesus. He made the personal appeal to those who knew about Jesus' miracles, his signs, his wonders. And Peter reflected on the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. He then summed up the events of the events by his eyewitness account, as well as the other 119 who were proclaiming the good news of Jesus with him. Peter just used what the people knew and put it together for them. He just made the connection. And that's all God wants us to do. Oh, here, Christian, God just wants us to make the connection. Because when we are walking in the Spirit of God and we're looking for the opportunities, listen, the connection will come. He just wants to use us to make a connection. The Holy Spirit. What made the impact in the message? The Holy Spirit. He was the author and the authority who orchestrated the entire evangelistic explosion that impacted the believers in Jerusalem and ultimately the world. See, the Holy Spirit regenerated the lost people and gave them the gift of faith in which they responded and believed that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior. Those saved at Pentecost took the message of Jesus back to their own countries where the Holy Spirit was already working there too, and many more were saved. You're going to meet somebody tomorrow. Maybe Tuesday, maybe this week. That needs you just to be real in a loving way about where you've been, what God has done in your life, because you don't know what they're going through. But God orchestrates the opportunity. You be sensitive and take him up on it. And you speak to that person, share your story, even if it's just a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there, because that person is going to go home to their family. And they're, when they accept Christ, they're going to go home and talk to their family about it. And you don't know how many lies from that. And we all get to heaven and you have your rewards, the people that you've given, you know, you spoke to about Christ to, and Jesus says, great, you know, and you're thinking there's three or four people. And Christ comes out with his big, huge thing of rewards, and says, here you go. And you're like, whoa, what's all this about? Well, you remember the man that you talked to on Tuesday morning at the water cooler? Yeah. Well, he got saved, and he went home. And he introduced Jesus to his wife and his three children. And those three children grew up, and they introduced so-and-so, their wife and their kid, and people at their work. How many people will just your one conversation about Jesus in your life, how many people will it reach that you will never, ever meet in your whole life and that you never even knew about, never even thought about? But because you were faithful to meet that one that the Holy Spirit was dealing with, that God had given you an appointed time to speak up about his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, what Jesus can do in a person's life. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. He saved you for a reason. Listen, it's imperative that you testify for him. The Holy Spirit influences your message of Jesus in your testimony, and he will impact countless lives by a person willing to be filled with the Spirit and make himself available. Charles Spurgeon said this: a man is not saved against his will, but he is made willing by the operation of the Holy Ghost, a mighty grace which he does not wish to resist enters into the man. Disarms him. Makes a new creature out of him. And he is saved. Question comes down also. Are you saved today? Are you allowing God to impact your life in such a way that he moves you past the traumas that you've been through? He moves you past the hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, that God is doing something great in your life. Have you truly given those over to God? Because as long as, Christian, as long as you carry those burdens, you'll never see the purpose what God has saved you for. And you'll always feel like you're falling short and that you're not good enough and that you can never live up to God's standards. Listen, you accepted Christ, that's God's standard. Jesus is God's standard. His grace, His mercy, that's God's standard. And salvation is free. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? And Christian, are you living in the fullness of the Spirit of God to be the person that God has called you, set you out to be in this life? Let's pray. Father God, today we see and we read what you've done in Peter's life and the transformation. And somehow, God, we think because it's a biblical story, we kind of put it out there as on the forefront that it could never happen to us. And Father, that's just the standard that you want to use us all. Lord, you want to use every one of us as your children in just amazing ways, in ways that we would never even dream of. And it's in our everyday walk, it's as we're going out to our jobs and our family life, wherever it may be, God, you want to use us. God, I pray today that your people will be submissive to your will, submissive to your grace, submissive to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.